have loved you, girl, like a planet. I could have chained your heart to a star. But it really doesn't matter at all. No, it really doesn't matter at all. Life's a guise. I could have built a house on the ocean. I could have placed our love in the sky. But it all really doesn't matter at all. No, it all really doesn't matter at all. Life's a guess. I could have turned you into a priestess. I could have burned your feet in the sand. But it all really doesn't matter at all. No, it all really doesn't matter at all. Life's a guess. But it all life's a guess. I hope it's gonna last.
Hello, hello. Good afternoon. This is Amelia with Post Adolescence Glow. I'm so very excited to be introducing Ella McDonald today, followed by Baxter. It's a gloomy day outside, but we're having a great time over here. And I'm super excited. Ooh, we're pretty quiet. Let me turn the gate up. Thank you. How's that? Better. Well, hello again. Ella, if you want to go ahead and say hi.
My name's Ella McDonald, a local singer-songwriter. And yeah, this first song is called The Gardener. It's about not knowing what you want to do with your life.
Yay!
Does the gardener sneak off at night to plant flowers in the front yard by the amber of her flashlight? Does the gardener ever plant things just for fun, even when the work is done? And does the lawyer debate with all her friends over where to go to dinner and how the book should end? Does the lawyer get home ready for a fight, or does she just want to compromise? 'Cause I've seen the fire fade from too many weary eyes of folks with good intentions and steady 9-to-5s. Is that just a part of life you grow into like brand new shoes? I'm scared of the light I lose. Does sneak off at night? Does the gardener sneak off? And what of I? What of I?
That was so beautiful. I love that, Ella.
Thank you.
So can I ask, like, we're all clapping for you, including Kim's mom and sister.
Thanks, Kim's mom.
Shout out to them. Thanks for being here today. So I want to ask, I guess, like, who is the gardener to you?
Yeah. The gardener is actually a very literal gardener who I, this was actually while I was at Tufts. I think it was the summer after my...
Yeah, wait. So for context, everybody, Ella went to Tufts.
Yes.
And when did you graduate?
2022.
That's what I thought. I was right.
I had to think about it. But yeah, so the gardener, I think it was the summer after maybe my freshman or sophomore year. I can't remember. Sophomore year. I worked on a farm that was really important to me as a child. It's where I went to like farm camp when I was little. And it's just like, this beautiful small farm in the Poconos in Pennsylvania. And at the time I was sort of having all this, like feeling all this conflict over, like I was, came into Tufts very sure that I wanted to do music, but like I wasn't really surrounded by peers on similar paths. And that was hard. And I was sort of questioning a lot. And I remember, the lead gardener, her name is Lily, at that farm. I remember her literally, like, one night after we had been, like, doing this, like, really hard, like, just hard on your body labor all day. She literally, like, went out after work, after it was dark, and, like, went and planted flowers in her front yard. And I was like, wow, she really loves what she does.
That's a really beautiful, that's a really awesome story.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that, okay, so I am a really big gardener myself.
Love.
Well, okay, as far as really big can be in my, like, little college house.
Sure.
But, like, I still have peppers and tomatoes growing in my house. My roommates all think I'm nuts, but it's okay. but I think there's something really beautiful about, like, cultivating beauty through, like, growing things.
It's totally.
There's nothing more innocent than that, too, and there's nothing... that I think, in my opinion, like, I think it really is a display of, like, goodwill
and love.
Diligence
yeah.
and, like really caring and investing, you know?
Yeah.
But I love that story. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to let you get into your next song and stop talking.
No, I love to talk. It's fine.
Okay.
I'm going to play another one that I wrote at Tufts that just reminded me of. This was the summer after my freshman year. I did this just like sort of self-imposed insane project where I was like, I'm gonna write a song every day for a month over the summer.
That's really challenging. And I
it was really challenging. but I was also going through like, it was challenging, but then by the end it wasn't really, because I started to realize that, oh, I'm just saying words, I'm just writing music, like it doesn't have to be good, I'm just getting stuff out.
Something.
It just has to be something, and that was really good.
That's also emotional work.
Yeah, and this was a song that I wrote based on a conversation I overheard at like a local coffee shop in my town. Someone was talking, I grew up in like northern New Jersey, and someone was talking about their son returning to New York after a long time and just sort of seeing all the ways that the city changed. And I was thinking about coming home from college and that sort of feeling of going back to your hometown after freshman year of college and being like, whoa, I'm really different and everything here is the same and I don't know if I belong anymore.
Wow. Cool. I feel nervous about those things too. But I'm excited to hear your song. I'm going to mute my little mic over here. Good.
This is called New York. When I returned home, I had to ask for directions. Stopped a man on the street who looked less like a stranger than me. Well, he told me Canal was up there past the juice shop, and I looked at him kind of funny. He just smiled, and that's when I knew this isn't my city no more. Move me like you used to. Give me what I need. Prove I'm in my home. I don't believe my lease. You don't move me like you used to. New York. Smell my bakery, it's perfume on my clothes. Walking home from the night shift down Bleecker all alone. But this is not the village, these streets are far too cold. I don't wanna shop at Whole Foods. I want the fruit that my corner man sold. Move me like you. Call this the village. Let my old flat be six people's home. I'll find a new corner man and a new bakery and leave this old city alone. You don't move me.
Wow, that was really something. Like, I think that there was such depth to that. And I felt like there were moments where the song really grew, but got to be small and big, which I love. Because sometimes, like I've had to say, like, definitely kind of kindly say before to certain, like, people I'm playing with, like, if we get really loud right at the beginning, we have nowhere to go.
Yeah, but I'm going to lose my voice.
Nowhere to go.
Yeah.
So, like, it's awesome to see that dynamicism kind of in your writing.
Thank you.
And I guess I want to ask you how you incorporate that into the way you write. And, you know, like, because mm-hmm. I certainly, sometimes I get stuck on, like, one lyrical theme or rhythmic theme, and then I'm kind of like, how do I make this also be something else in transition and feel big and small at moments? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something I get caught up with.
Yeah. Let me think about that. That's a great question.
Yeah, it's kind of a hard question. So if you don't know the answer, that's also
okay. No, it's a good one. Something that I really like about sort of this setup where it's just guitar and vocals,
mm-hmm.
It feels really powerful to be able to, like, take up space in a way that you don't have to scream. Like, yeah. That you can be really quiet and have people listen. I've played so many shows in, like, bars or things like that where it's, like, really loud and everyone's talking over me. And I think there's a real power to being able to, like, hold a room,
yeah,
and
totally.
Have everyone actually listen.
Yeah.
So I love having like big moments, and I feel like I sort of let the dynamics sort of ebb and flow with the lyrics a little bit,
mm-hmm.
And use dynamics to help sort of tell the story of the lyrics.
Yeah.
But I really do love and cherish like moments like that where I can be really quiet. I think there's a power in that.
No, I totally agree, and I think, like, for that reason, there's sometimes such an issue with playing in, like, big restaurant venues and mm-hmm. things like that, and I've definitely, like, been in an environment where I'm watching someone play an acoustic set, and I'm just like, I wish they were being, like, their noise is being amplified more, because
yeah.
I cannot hear what they're playing, and I think that can definitely be, like, a really stifling space that artists have to enter into, and which is just, like, a type of gig, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So I feel like it's something that a lot of people contend with. Whoopsie.
Mm-hmm.
That's a scary sound.
Spooky. I don't know if anyone heard in that last song, the crash on the ground was my headphones just completely falling off.
I was kind of wondering where they went.
Yeah, that's where they were on the ground. But honestly, it kind of like helped me like sort of be in the moment of like hearing my voice. I'm like, oh, I might take them off when I play.
Yeah, the headphones are definitely, like, sometimes you really need them. Like,
yeah.
So for our listeners, the way we have our studio set up is that if the sound is happening in the studio and it's being picked up by a microphone and put through a system, or if something has, like, a direct line into our board, like, it's not going to be really heard out loud in the studio. So, like, if we take, like, an electric piano, for example, and, like, plug that in, that won't be heard in the studio. So we'll have problems with not having enough headphones or having a lot of artists in here that all need to be able to hear each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that can definitely be kind of a complicated thing about doing live sound in our studio, but it makes it very, I guess, like seamless and nice when we have someone who's just on an acoustic guitar, because all you need to hear is yourself,
yeah.
And we do the rest, you know. So please feel free to take those off.
Great.
You don't need to have them on. You can
hear
yourself.
If you need
yourself.
Me in the middle of a song, you'll have to just.
Oh, I'll just wait.
Yeah.
So I guess I want to ask you before we get into this mm-hmm. next song, because we. See, like, the interview's kind of, like, ongoing.
Look, I love it.
Because I just want to know things about you. I'm curious, when you started learning to make music and
mm-hmm.
sing, and is the acoustic guitar the only instrument you play, or is that, or do you find yourself being drawn other directions, or, I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, so my sort of, like, musical journey was I started, like, on piano, just in the way that, like, sometimes moms make their kids play piano. That's kind of what
too.
Happened. Yeah, and
oh,
I'd never practice, and I was, like, very resentful. And I'm, like, now looking back, I'm, like, oh, like, I could be so good. I'd be, like, a child prodigy, like, if I had actually practiced. Because I started pretty young. But I started to, like, compose little, honestly, kind of melodies, but on the piano. In like late elementary school, I started like writing poetry in late elementary
That's
school.
Awesome.
And then it was sometime in middle school, there was like a big ukulele phase. I don't know if this happened in your middle school too.
Yes.
Everyone started playing the ukulele, and I was like, all the cool girls were playing ukulele. I was like, okay, like, I guess I'm gonna play the ukulele. I'm
That's
gonna
awesome.
Learn like I'm Yours by Jason Mraz and all
no,
that.
No, literally.
And because that was an instrument that I had chosen to learn myself, like, it was totally
like
different.
The self-motivation.
I was totally self-motivated.
Yeah.
And that's when I started to like write, like put two and two together. I started to like write, melodies and lyrics, and put that all together. I started guitar, I think, when I was in high school, but that was just sort of a natural progression from ukulele. But yeah, I would say in middle school was when I started to really like start to write songs. It also makes sense because, like, middle school sucks. Middle school sucks for everyone. Somehow. Everyone's really emotional. And it's, like, it makes so much sense to me that, like, that is when I, like, the angst was too much. I had to get it out somehow.
Well, it's awesome to hear how early you started because a lot of people, I think, end up starting later. I mean, everyone starts different times.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's something special about that because we carry these childlike tendencies of ours into our music, you know, and there are still things I do that I was doing when I was like 12 or 13 years old when I was in children's choir, you know. So I think that's definitely a magical thing. But
yeah, I think it's also really special to look back at, like, the songs that I wrote. Like, they're awful. They're awful.
In middle school, yeah, like, you gotta just love that part of yourself.
to really like learn to love that part of myself too. That was cringe, but, like, was honest.
Yeah.
About what I was going through, and, like, yeah, there's something so beautiful that I love being able. I have all my notebooks from the time I was, like, in, like, maybe
that's
middle school,
thing.
And I love, like, looking back through them and just being like, wow, like, what was this kid going through?
Yeah, and now you have a record of it.
Yeah.
And I think there's, like, this sieve through which we understand ourselves, too, and I'll, like, go back and reread my journals and be like, what in the actual, like, what is going on at that time, you know?
Yeah.
Totally. Okay, well, I'm going to have you do two songs back-to-back.
Okay.
Maybe pick some that you find to be related or...
Yeah.
Yeah. Go hand in hand, and then maybe after we hear the songs, we can talk about what they mean to you and how you wrote
them.
Cool.
Oh, I love that. So I'm gonna play a song called Stomach Ache. I was just thinking about, like, angsty emotions and getting them out through songwriting, and I realized this. I wrote this a few, like, maybe at this point, maybe 4 years ago. I'm kind of old now, I realized. This song has these, like, the chorus you'll hear is really, like, long, drawn-out notes. And I wrote it in a time where I was, like, having, like, a week-long panic attack. I was super anxious. I, like, could barely eat or sleep.
Oh, that's tough.
And I was noticing that, like, this song, those long, drawn-out notes, it literally forces me to take a deep breath. I was just thinking about that. I was like, maybe this is, like, a subconscious way that, like, I, like, my body was being like, hey, like... breathe.
Yeah, no, I find that, like, singing can be a very cathartic thing. It's very relaxing for me because it makes me breathe super hard.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's, like, the only thing that will calm me down.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Okay. I'm gonna mute myself.
This is Stomach Ache. You tell it to me straight. Are you feeling me today? I've never been so good at charades. And my hand is getting tired of crossing out your name just to write it in again. Now I've got a stomachache just hearing your name. Yeah, I've got a stomachache. Yeah, I
sugar cane. Now
I totally see what you mean about just the drawn out, very like, I don't know, just heartfelt melody. I really loved that.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm not gonna talk. I'm gonna.
You already did.
Okay, anymore. Last words.
Last words.
Next one.
No, I love the conversation. But. Let me focus on tuning my guitar for a second. Something that I also really like about that song is I wrote it in a moment of not being done processing an emotion. And there's something, like, I just didn't have all the words, but I was like, I've got a stomachache. That is super just, like, honest. It's not, doesn't feel really poetic. It's just like, yeah, I have a stomachache.
There's definitely, like, a certain, like, corporeal aspect to stress for me personally. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, I know that if certain things are not happening well with my body, then there's something else going on, you know? So I think that's definitely a totally real take.
Thank you. And this is another song that I wrote this one more recently. I wrote this time is fake, whatever. But I wrote this one in another moment where I wasn't really done processing an emotion. I wrote it about a breakup, and then it's come to have a ton of new meaning as I've been like going through this really long process. I've been recovering from a concussion for a year.
Right, I meant to ask you about that.
Yeah, and like, whew, I have so much to say about that.
Yeah, I knew that would be something we'd talk about today.
I wrote this song, and I think it's sort of about this frustration of the early stages of healing from anything, whether it's a heartbreak or whether it's literally a brain injury.
Oh my God,
and just that early stage where, like, it feels like you're stuck in this cycle and you get a little bit better, but then you get worse again. And that feeling doesn't last forever. And I have moved past that feeling for the most part. Sometimes I still feel stuck there. But this is a song that I wrote
cool.
in that moment.
Well, I'm going to let you play the song and I'm going to ask you more about
Great.
That.
My joints and bones are aching. That could only mean two things. Either I miss you something awful, or it's just about to rain. My body always knows before my eyes, before my mind. Now I'm crying over you under blue skies. I kind of thought that I'd be good by now, but getting over you is not a straight line, it's a cycle. I'll be doing okay. Then you cloud up my brain until I cannot hold it in. And the sadness turns to rain. It's a cycle. I always cycle back to you. They say this water's the same stuff.
stuff the dinosaurs drank. So even when I ring you out, mute my phone, avoid your name, the feelings flood right back in the fiercest waves. I kind of thought that I'd be good by now, but getting over you is not a straight line, it's a cycle. I'll be doing okay. Then you cloud up my brain until I cannot hold it in, and the sadness turns to rain. It's a cycle. I always cycle. That could only mean two things. Either I miss you something awful, or it's just about to rain.
Wow, I loved that. So how did, I guess, you were talking about, like, the process of healing from your mm-hmm. concussion, and I know that, like, trying to fit music into that healing process was something that was probably challenging, because so Ella and I know each other from Passim. We both work there, and I often see Ella wearing their earplugs.
Always.
And so I guess I'm curious just how you were able to create a healthy and healing relationship with yourself and music during this time.
Yeah. So I, sustained my concussion a little over a year ago now. It was October 27th. I remember it very well. And for the first, honestly, like, maybe 2 months, I couldn't play music. I couldn't listen to music. It gave me such a headache. And... like, even my motor skill, my, like, fine motor skills were impacted, so, like, my hands would be super clumsy on the guitar. And I couldn't write, like, not in a way of, like, I didn't have inspiration or whatever. I, like, literally, like, writing, stringing together, like, four words and writing them down, like, gave me a migraine. And that was so difficult because music, as I've said, sort of is a lot of the way, of, like, how I process things.
Right.
And that was so challenging. And by, like, my area of work is music and audio engineering. So that sucks.
That's really
and
hard.
And the first few months, I still needed something to, like, I needed to process things in some way. And I started, like, drawing. Literally, I would be, like, scribbling and painting.
That's awesome.
On, like, sitting on my bedroom floor in the dark, like, not even being able to see really what I was doing. But it gave me something to do and, like, was some way to express what I was going through. I started this little, what do I call it? Bad art gallery, where I just hung up all my, like, little concussion art that I was like, this doesn't need to be good. I'm not a good visual artist at all. But it was just like, it was something expressive,
like,
and fun.
This is art.
And it doesn't need to be good.
Right. That's awesome.
And so I have that, like, on the inside of my closet wall, and I look
that's
back
awesome.
At it. And then, so I slowly started to be able to play and listen to music again. But then it was at a point where I couldn't really play, or I couldn't learn anything new. I could only do things that were, like, sort of in my, like, rep. Deeply encoded in my memory, my muscle memory. And it was really relieving once I got to that point, because I was like, oh, this is still, these songs are still in my fingers. Mm-hmm. This is still here.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took many, many months of constant, exercise and therapy and every single possible treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to be able to perform again after maybe 6 months. And I started working at Passim again with earplugs. I'm still really, honestly, like, I have a lot of noise sensitivity. And that's something that I still struggle with. I listen to a lot less music than I used to because it is really cognitively challenging. But as of, I think it was around, like, 2 or 3 months ago was when I really started to be able to write music again. So it was that recent. And that was so, like, that has been just such a win to have back and is, like, such an important milestone for me. And, like, songs are pouring out of me. I'm like, that's I have awesome. So much to say. So,
would you say there's, like, something that you think might have changed that contributes to that, like, those new inspiration?
Absolutely. I mean, there's so much about the healing process. I could, like, I could literally talk about it for hours. But I think what of a lot of it boils down to, in an interesting way, I think becoming disabled and sort of deviating from this path that a lot of my peers were on, like my peers from Tufts and peers at Passim, like when I graduated college, it felt like there was this very prescribed like thing I was supposed to be doing. And when I could no longer do that, it gave me a lot of freedom in a way, like the same way I was able to just like be like, okay, it doesn't matter if this art is good. I'm just going to like be scribbling because it's something that I need to do to survive, literally. I think I've been writing in a more vulnerable and a more honest way because it's given me this freedom and this like, I think I care less about how I'm perceived now and do more of what I need to do to have my needs met.
I hope you know that I really admire you for being able to persevere through that challenge and come out on the other end having gained things where initially you might have lost. And I think that it's really important to recognize too, just that making good art is something that's hard for everybody to do. So being able to like, I guess, be able to have this emotional personal expression that can help maybe tell your story about some of the difficulties you've experienced is something that's really important, you know? So thank you for doing that. And thank you for pushing yourself through those emotions in order to, like, I guess, do that artistic service, because that's definitely, I think, a way that I see it, you know?
Thank you. I love that, like, artistic service, because I do think something that I've like observed as I've started to like perform these new and vulnerable songs is I've had people come up to me and be like, this really like resonated with me, this helped me in my healing process, or but you taking up space, like asking for your needs, like allowed me to, like, gave me permission to ask for my needs too.
It's how I at least validate myself a lot through music. I listen to someone else's music and I'm like, okay, so they actually understand what I'm going through, it seems like.
It can be really, really powerful.
You know? So I think that's really awesome. So I'm going to go ahead and ask Alec, since it's 12:40. Usually the way I do this is I kind of have more chatting in the first half. Because I want to ask you one more question before I do that. Sorry. So I'm curious, like, what were your majors at Tufts and what was your Tufts experience like? And you graduated in 2022. So how did COVID, like, affect your college experience?
Okay, so, I graduated in 2022. I majored in sociology and music.
Nice.
Oh my God. I mean, Tufts, it was an experience. It was an experience.
Yeah.
There were a lot of really good things and there were a lot of really challenging things.
Totally.
And I actually took a gap year in the middle of college to do all this organizing towards the 2020 elections.
That's awesome. Right. I remember we talked about that briefly.
Five different election cycles. It was insane.
Yeah.
And I think when I came, this is why we were talking about this, because we were talking about senior year, just sort of coming back and being like, oh, none of this matters. None of this matters.
Totally.
And there's such a high level of stress. And I think, I grew so much throughout college. I was in an a cappella group. I did Tufts SQ, which was a lot of fun. And had a really good community there. Yeah, I have a lot of appreciation for my like Tufts experience, and also it was super challenging, and I am so relieved that I'm done, and I've done a lot of healing, and like relearning how to listen to my body since.
It's definitely a bit of a echo chamber. Mm-hmm. It's like this crazy vacuum I think we exist in here a little bit, and mm-hmm. I definitely have been feeling that because it's senior year and everyone's like, I need to start applying to jobs.
Yeah,
have you started? Terrifying. And I'm like, no, I haven't started.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah.
But I think it's like one thing that I've really been learning from the musicians I'm around at Passim is that one, nobody's path is straight, which is something I've been saying to my friends.
Yeah.
That, like...
Exactly.
That, like surrendering to the fact that things are not going to go as planned
yeah.
allows us to move more gracefully through the world.
And exactly, exactly.
I think that, like, I've really realized that being around people who are, like, living real post-grad lives.
Yeah.
And also realizing that, like, when you get a 9-to-5, you get to have a weekend.
Yeah.
What a freaking concept.
Yeah, going from that, even organizing work that was super demanding and was not 9-to-5, like it was way longer,
yep.
still going back and being like, oh, you want me to be in school all day and then spend all night doing homework and then go to a rehearsal and get back at midnight and then do it all again the next day. I was like,
and get 5 hours of sleep yeah. and just be miserable. Yeah, no.
Well, I have a song that I would love to share in that context.
I would love that, but I'm going to have... I genuinely would, but I need to do the PSA.
Oh, right. Oh my God, do the PSA.
Yeah, we're
going
to do the PSA. Alec, it's over to you, pal. I hope you heard this.
Thank you, I did. I'll just read it really quick. Thinking of adding a pet to your family. The Sterling Animal Shelter reminds you that there are a variety of wonderful adult and young dogs at the shelter just waiting for a good home like yours. For more information about adoptions or pet care, contact the Sterling Animal Shelter at 978-422-8585 or visit www.sterlingshelter.org. Adopt, don't shop. This is a public service message from WMFO Tufts Radio. Back to you, Amelia.
Thank you so much, Alec. That was so swift. Okay, Ella. So how we usually do this is we chat and talk and all mm-hmm. that at the beginning. And then now we have about 17 minutes left of the show. And I'm going to let you just kind of like fire at us and
Sweet.
Play some songs. So pick those songs, mm-hmm. speak as much or as little as you'd like. But that's kind of where we're at. And
Great.
We have Baxter. So keep tuning in, everybody. But
yes.
we're probably going to have to transition you out of there pretty quickly
yes.
once we hit noon.
Absolutely.
All right. Sounds great. Everybody, this is Ella. I'm going to mute myself.
All right. And for those who have tuned in since somewhere in the middle of the show, my name is Ella McDonald. I'm a singer-songwriter based in Cambridge, a community organizer, a disability advocate. This is my song, I Want to Last. And this is a really recent one that I wrote sort of about this process of learning to like pay attention to your body, learning the weight and seriousness of taking care of yourself, and getting to a place in my life where I wasn't always, but am now, where I'm like, I want to last. I take walks every day. I take my meds. I take a break, 'cause I want to last. I want to last. I make art. I make friends. I make lunch, I make amends, 'cause I want to last. I want to last. Yeah, I want to last. I want to last. I've lost fights, I've lost sleep, I've lost time, I lost Jolie, I've lost friends, I've lost friends, I've lost friends, I've lost
So I say no, I say stay, I say I love you just in case, 'cause I want to last and I want you to last. Do you want to last? I want you to last. I want you. To last. And I was just thinking that I think a lot of the experience I was drawing upon in that song was over my time at Tufts, having multiple people take their own lives. I think seeing that and realizing how serious and important it is to take care of yourself. And that nothing academically that I was, like, nothing else in my life matters more than that.
It's a really important sentiment and very powerful. And I think, like, I don't know, the grind can be very debilitating.
Yeah. And harmful.
Physically and emotionally. And those two things go hand in hand. And so I advocating and raising awareness about those things is really important too.
Yeah.
So thank you. Yeah. And yeah, we don't have much longer, so no, I'm going to be quiet.
Okay, let me see. Okay, that was that's a heavy one, so I'm going to play one that's a little more upbeat. Not that we can't, like, heaviness is very important and can be relieving to move through when you can put words to your experience. But this is another song that I wrote recently, just in a moment of being really annoyed with someone. And it's called Busy and Booked.
Let it out.
Sometimes you just gotta be petty, you know?
I would love to have a week where nothing you do affects me. I would sleep the deepest sleep, awake with a smile, a feeling of peace. Instead, I've got bags under my eyes, but someone in my life don't even mind. You keep my therapist busy and booked. Busy and booked, busy and booked. You keep my therapist busy and booked, busy and booked. I would love to tell my friends, not much is up, how about you? Never draft another text. We put our brains to better use. At least could you give me a gentle heads up when you're back on your schedule fills up. You keep my therapist busy and booked. Busy and booked, busy and booked. You keep my therapist busy and booked, busy. Now she's paying off her student loans. You've wasted so much of my time, and I hope you find help, but you can't have mine. 'Cause you keep my therapist busy and booked, busy and booked, busy and booked. You keep my therapist busy and booked, busy and booked.
That was really lovely, Ella.
Thank you. So that was busy and booked. I think, do we have time for one more, two more?
I'm going to have you do two more.
Two more. Great.
So there's 8 minutes.
8 minutes. We got it.
Love.
So I'm going to do one that I actually released recently. This one is called Wedding Song.
Yes.
You can find it on Spotify, whatever streaming service you use. You can buy it on Bandcamp, so I actually make more than 0.01 cents. And it's a song about feeling really sort of disillusioned with the world, and just trying to sort of reignite your hope and remember why you're here and what you're fighting for.
Amazing.
Those of you just tuning in, my name is Ella McDonald, local singer-songwriter, and this song is called Wedding Song. You can find it anywhere you stream or purchase music. Oh, that is so out of tune. Give me one quick second. So quick. Save it for another day. I just want to hear of a life that's worth living and a promise we'll make it that way. May you dance at your granddaughter's wedding. May you share in the cake and champagne. May the song that they sing be an old melody that's given new meaning that day. When I don't even know where I'll be next month, everything we know is starting to change. It's easy to forget what to hold on to. So I'm holding on to that day. Dance at your granddaughter's wedding. May you share in the cake and champagne. May the song that they sing be an old melody that's given new meaning that day. May we make it that way.
granddaughters' weddings. May we share in the cake and champagne. May the songs we now sing become old melodies. They'll be given new meaning one day.
Yeah, I'm gonna have you get into your last song.
Okay, yeah, we have time for one more. Yeah. Great. Okay.
Thanks.
Again, I'm Ella McDonald. You can find me on Instagram, ELLA.MCD. You can find me on, I don't know, just you could Google me. My brain is tired, so yeah, you can find me on social media. Stay in touch if you're, yeah.
Yeah, everybody, please make sure to give Ella a follow. And if you don't already follow the Post Adolescence Glow Instagram, please follow
it. Yes, do it.
Because there's lots of really cool artists, and it's like a free concert every single week.
Yeah.
So please follow us.
Do it.
That's the literal only place you're going to find information about what we're doing. So, yeah. Thank you so much for everything you gave us this week, Ella.
Thank you.
I'm going to have you get into your last song, and then we can
say goodbye. Yeah, and stick around, everyone. We have an amazing band, Baxter, coming up next.
Yay.
This one is called Avalanches. Going to end it here. So sorry. One second.